Are you ready?
Ready to transform your life and step into the person that you say you want to be.
Ready to stop talking and start doing?
I'm Ange, a health and fitness coach.
And I'm Ashley, a Reiki master and energy healer. And we are here to help you do exactly that.
And you're busy. We get that, because we are too.
But even with the challenges and chaos, you deserve and can live a life full of absolute joy, happiness, and purpose.
We want you to join us in taking radical responsibility so that you can take everything in your life to that next level.
Have the best sex of your life.
Live in a body that you love.
Let go of worry and stress.
And live in total alignment.
You're happier, healthier, an amazing life is waiting for you.
Let's get into today's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm great, Levy. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right, we are diving all into questions today. We were chatting, we were saying we really haven't done like a lighthearted episode in 2022. So today's going to be a little bit more on that lighthearted side of things. And we thought we would dive into questions. And a quote I heard once was that the quality of your life comes in the quality of your relationships and the quality of the questions that you ask in your relationships. And since we are all about deepening those relationships and creating that in your life, we thought this would be perfect for all you guys to enjoy. So let's get right into it, gang. So we're going to go through a series of questions. We invite you guys to ask your significant others these questions as well. And then we're both going to respond with what our responses would be if our partner was to ask us them. So, number one, how do you feel best supported in hard times, Ashley?
Okay. I need space and I need to be alone.
Same.
Okay. I'm like, oh man, everybody's going to think I'm crazy.
I want to be alone. I can't speak the words even for days about like how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Like sometimes I might want to be like held through touch, but not forced to talk about it.
Interesting. And I would say I don't even want to be touched necessarily. Okay. Interesting, because I feel like I need to process before I can do that. And so something happened the other day that also affected Cam, but I couldn't tell him until later that night. Because it was something that just to say it was going to make me cry, which is okay. But I wanted that alone time to cry, to process, to heal. And I would say I see that in our conversations too, where the other day, guys, honestly, Ange has these spidey senses. She just like texted me out of the blue. She's like, hey, are you okay? Just checking in. I was like, oh my God, she knows I'm falling apart and I haven't even talked to her.
My intuition was like, you need a message to Ashley. And I even said in the message, I'm like, I don't know why, but like I feel like I need to message you today.
Yeah.
It was
perfect and just so connected. So it was neat, and I said to you, thank you, I love you, and I was hopefully kind, but I said I wasn't ready yet. Right? And so I think there's a really beautiful place in knowing what makes you feel supported, but also knowing you weren't offended that I didn't want to talk about everything that felt like it was falling apart. You just honored the fact that, hey, I'm checking in on you. I love you. I'm here if you need me. But there was no, you didn't take it personal. You weren't upset. There was no like, oh. And I think when it comes to our significant others, really honoring that, honoring their process, right? So it can be tricky when someone that you love really does need space and I want to talk it out. I want to hash this out. I want to figure it out. I need to know all the details. I need to talk, talk, talk. If the person who is in that relationship with you doesn't process that way, honoring that, especially when the thing that you're talking about or the problem or the challenge affects them, right? If it affects you, honoring your own process, right? So for example, if my husband's father died or my father died, if it was his father, I mean, I've known him a very long time and I love him, but I would allow Cam whatever he needs in that moment. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas if it was my father, if I needed to talk it out and like hash every detail out, he would honor that. So I think it's important to recognize which situation you're in. Is this a you or is this a me thing? Mm-hmm. Or is it an us thing? And we each need to figure out the ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think you need to have the self-awareness to know what really feels best. Like, are you somebody in hard times that wants somebody to drop off fucking soup? You need to be also able to articulate that to the people that love you of, yes, like, hey, you know what? I don't want to talk, but if you just made me soup, that would be fantastic. And asking people,
yes,
to support you in that way versus feeling as though you have to be a lone ranger and really struggle. If there's things that you know would really help support you through it, that leaning on those support, mm-hmm, tools, when people ask like, hey, can I cook a meal for you?
Is there anything I can do?
Yes. Being able to come up with what are those things that would actually help support you during that? Would somebody coming and grabbing your kids for 3 hours while you just cry it out be amazing?
Right.
Use that in your life. There's people that love you and care for you. You don't have to go about this alone. I mean, that has been like the biggest lesson that I've had over the last 6 months. So I'm just like shouting it from the rooftop. I always thought that I always had to do everything on my own. And now that I've reached out and just allowed people to help me through hard times, I'm like, oh, this is a lot fucking easier than trying to do everything on your own.
There is a village.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. So being able to articulate that, I think, is so important.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely bang on the money there. When it comes to also, I think one of the important things to recognize when it comes to our partners is not expecting them to be. So for example, if Cam was a, I need to be a lone person, and I was somebody who needed to talk it out, but we were both experiencing a trauma or a challenge or a struggle. If I'm a talker, I don't have to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Reaching out to those other people in your life, right? And not being upset that the one person who you think should fulfill this role can't in that moment, or doesn't want to, or just has no interest, right? And so I think that's the beauty of friendships, mm-hmm, is each friendship can play a different role in your life. So if you are somebody who doesn't jive with your significant other's way of handling, reaching out and making sure that you still get the support you need and you're still articulating that, but maybe just outsourcing.
Absolutely. And I think it is so unrealistic to expect our partner to be all the things and do all the things and like just always want to be that for you. Like, 100%. Right? It's so unrealistic. So the more that we can just create this whole network of people that give us all of the things we want our life to look like, the better. Versus it is so silly that we expect like our partner just to, yeah, to be all those things, right?
Absolutely. Because we can't be all those things for them either.
No. And I mean, even if we could, at some point we would be not honoring what we need, especially, absolutely, in those moments.
For sure.
All right.
Next question. What does... The next one kind of ties into, we both are alone people. So what does alone time look like for you?
Alone time for me is like nobody fucking bother me and I don't like nobody bother me and don't like I'm unreachable. I'm alone time for me is like they don't want to be, I don't want to be connected at all. Like you can't phone me, you can't text me, you can't, like alone time is just completely removed from all of that. There's like, I guess, less VIPs types of alone time where like the kids are in bed and you have some alone time, but like the ultimate alone time for me is like I'm unreachable for like 12 hours. Everybody else figure out your life. And I mean, I don't need it all of the time, but I absolutely need it like at least once a month to like feel like my best self, where it's just, I'm probably going to be in the bathtub for a little bit. I'm going to be dancing, breathing, probably masturbating, like
yeah, girl,
working out, like just all the things. And I just don't want any little human. I don't want any little human needing anything from me either. And I've just learned to honor that. I just need that. So
yeah, amazing.
How about for you?
I would say on the daily, it shows up in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's my new kind of alone time. And I really enjoy the quiet that comes with that. That being said, it is sometimes interrupted because kids get up at random times sometimes. But I would say And it's interesting because it's not actually alone time, but I feel like my alone time is when I get to leave the house and I don't have to be a mom. I don't have to be a wife. I get to go do a thing that's mine. So usually it's like something like this, or tonight I'm getting together with some girlfriends. And so I feel like that's my alone time. I really recharge. So it's in like a group setting, but I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a me thing. It's just for me. Mm-hmm. And that recharges me in a really powerful way.
Cool.
Yeah. But that being said, I did just have a session with a healer who said I need to have more alone time. I'm like, okay. And the recommendation was very much just like wrapping myself up in a blanket, going up to the bunkie and just reading a book, because so much of my alone time is very structured, right? So when I get up, it's like, I'm doing a thing. And so having more unstructured alone time, and my guess is probably some of our listeners feel this way, but when I'm alone, I feel like that's my time to clean the house. Right? And so it's like, oh, I really want to be in my space, but I want it to be clean first. And so there's this balance I find when I am alone and I am at home. If I'm cleaning, I'm tuning into all the things that light my soul up. Because I do, like, I've recognized and I've honored that part of my self-care is having a tidy house. It's not something that I have to let go of, or, but I know that that's just part of my self-care. But with that, I crank my tunes. I've got four sticks of incense going. I'm dancing. I'm singing. I'm in alignment in all of those ways. And then when the house feels like it's back to its sanctuary state, then I really sit and find that time to journal. I find that time to meditate, or sometimes I just started like just fucking sitting. The other night, I just like after supper, I just went over and I sat in the big chair. Cam cleaned up supper and the kids were all doing their thing. I'm like, I'm just gonna fucking sit here. And it wasn't like I'm gonna fucking sit here. It was just like, I just want to sit here. There was no like reason. There was no rhyme. There was just like,
so funny. That's been the theme this whole month. If we think about like Jessie, she came on talking about her book. She's like the queen of doing nothing. And then we interviewed Jenny, which is coming out next week. And she also was like, I'm the queen of doing nothing. But it's just this showing up a lot where it's just like, I'm just going to do nothing.
And be present and that, in that.
Yeah. It's good. That's amazing. All right, number 62. This one's silly in my opinion, but I'm not really an animal person. Dogs, cats, or rabbits?
Or fish. I could add fish in there because you're a fish.
I do a fish. So.
Okay, so we have a dog, and I would say we are dog people, but there is kind of a funny story in connection to that. We got a new truck, and there was a chipmunk that like crawled underneath the hood and chewed the washer fluid line. And so we have, Cam is not impressed. And so he's on the page now that we need to get cats. So honestly, I think for Easter, our kids are getting cats and they're going to be over the moon. But up until like recently, we don't like or love cats, which I support everybody who does. I think cats have a really beautiful energy. But I would say we have never been cat people. We never would be cat people. And here we are, the universe is giggling in our face because our kids adore cats. And now Cam and I are both on the page. We actually need cats to handle this little rodent issue. So anyways, that's kind of, but
that's funny.
But the interesting thing with dogs and cats, dogs actually, we know this, or many people know this, but they end up taking on the energy of their owner. Right? They typically, and dogs actually in a room, they will search for the best energy spot to sit. So if you go into a room and there's a dog and it has like a spot it goes to, that's the high energy place in that room. Cats do the opposite. They actually absorb the worst energy in the room.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so if you think about cats, they're a little more moody. They're a little more temperamental. They're a little more, I fucking do what I want, which is good because we should all be a little more like that. We should all be a little bit more dog. We should all be a little bit more cat. Dogs are more people pleaser. cats are more fuck you, I do what I want, mm-hmm. right? And so the blend of that. But it's really beautiful because there's a lot of people who think that's kind of a bad thing. Like, ooh, cats, like they like negative energy. I like to think of it as they actually are protecting the people they love. Mm. So you actually can't sit here if I'm here.
Mm.
And okay. if I'm a bit temperamental, you'll probably stay away from it.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah. Anyways.
That's cool.
Yeah. You're a fish person. I know you're a fish person. So.
I'm a fish person. And my fish are still fucking alive and thriving. Although Blade is like so tiny and I don't know if they're big. The other ones, they're big. And my kids definitely overfeed the fish. But that's okay. But one of them just isn't growing and I'm just maybe just always supposed to be a lean bean. But the other two are getting chunky.
Yeah, that's so funny that you're talking about your fish being chunky.
Oh my God, this morning at the bus stop, my son's like talking about, he's all on the chunky train. So he's talking about people in the world that are chunky, right?
This is Theodore,
right? It's like, okay. And who is he talking
about? How do you navigate that?
Well, I was like, well, can you describe what chunky is? Like, we can describe what chunky is. Oh, well, their belly is really big. It was like, okay. But it's so funny. So I was like thinking to, when he was saying it, I was like, oh, who in your world is chunky? And the only person he picked was like one of my cousin's husbands who is like very large and in charge. I was like, and that was like the only person that he... I had described as chunky. It's like, okay. But yeah, so in terms of navigating it, I more so just asked him who is chunky in your world? They're like, yeah. But,
too funny.
But yeah, I just thought that was a funny that he didn't choose the word fat, but yeah, he chose the word. He chose the word chunky. Anyways. Sure. Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. Okay.
Anyways. So yeah.
All right.
Fish person for the feng shui. In my research, apparently they're good for energy. But.
They are. They're very good for energy.
All right.
That's a good flow.
All right. Girly, you're next, I think. Yeah. Or am I next?
I think it's you, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
What do you wish people better understood about you?
Oh, that's interesting. What do you wish people better understood about you? I actually don't care if people understand me.
I'm struggling with that one.
I don't really care if you understand me. I think the thing that maybe is like maybe misunderstood a little bit about me, but I don't really care, is I think I can be very like blunt and direct with people and maybe a little bit insensitive to their emotions. I think sometimes that can come across as like my intention is to hurt somebody, and I think that I'm not trying to hurt them. That's just who I am. It's a little bit more blunt, a little bit more brash, a little bit less censored. But I don't really care that people don't understand that. They're taking what I've said and thinking that my intention is malicious. But I don't actually care. So,
yeah.
Would you agree that maybe people think that about me or no?
I think you think people think that. And probably on first impression, if there was an interaction like that, yes. But I think most people appreciate it. Most people see it as like, okay, she is blunt, she is upfront, she will call you on your shit. But it's probably why a lot of those same people come to you.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Right? I think it's probably...
I think it's a gift. I think it is
100%.
Being able to stand in that and tell people what they need to hear in an unfiltered way.
And to be able to see it,
mm-hmm.
right? To first be able to see it clearly, and then articulate it. You just mm-hmm. don't fluff around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is anything, show up for you? What do you wish people better understood about you?
I don't know.
They understood what you did for work.
I don't even know. I would say there was a time in my life where I really wanted the people around me to understand what I do.
Yeah.
Now I just, I don't even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I would say there's times, perhaps, when I wish Cam understood some of the gravity of what I do.
Like the impact of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So your partner understanding the impact of what your job is doing for the lives of other people.
Yes. And part of that is tricky because I literally tell him nothing.
So it's confidentiality.
I can't, yes, right? Yes. So literally every client, I come down from the bunkie and he's like, how was Reagan? That's what he likes to call it. And I'm like, it was good. And that's where it ends.
Yeah.
So there is this, like, I want him to understand what I do, but he's not getting, like, he doesn't get the ins and outs of how impactful a session was, or sometimes what I call a miracle session, where it was just like, and I'll say that to him, like, oh, that was a miracle session. He's like, oh, cool. But that's like as deep as it goes, right? So, but yeah, he has had Reiki, so he knows what I do. But I don't think he knows how many people or what
the magnitude.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay.
All right. I don't know who's
I was thinking if she goes and reads the question, it's her turn, but I don't even know.
What lessons from your childhood have most impacted your worldview?
That is a big one. What lessons from your childhood have most impacted your worldview? I think the first thing that comes up from my the biggest thing I can think of from my childhood is that I just remember feeling like this is a very small it's a very small little snippet on this massive globe, and there's no way that everybody lives this way. And I remember feeling that as a kid and feeling as though I can't wait to see what else is out in the world and what else is there. And I think it almost inspired me to get out of a small town, if that makes sense.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, like, you know how some people, like, they grow up in a small town and it's like, oh, this is, like, so at home and, like, like, I think about my dad. He's like, everywhere is the same. Doesn't matter where you go, everywhere is the same. And I'm like, I don't. And I really felt that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I still kind of feel that in Teeswater, where I'm like, oh, this is such a small thinking, small, I don't know, small. It's the best way to describe it. And I feel like, I don't know, the biggest lesson was like, the world is wide open. There's so much more that's out there. And so I think it inspired me to see the world.
Okay. Interesting.
And and maybe even just like inspired me to want to do everything that was not that, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
You wanted to go get more experiences.
And do everything that wasn't my childhood.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. For sure.
Expand beyond. For you.
Yeah. So I would say mine was probably most in connection to religion, I guess. I grew up very Catholic, and I have no issues with religion. I have no issues with Catholicism, but I would say that shaped my view as a young child, and then the folding or the crumbling of that in my teenage years to really start to form my own beliefs. And when I went to university, that was probably when I realized that not everybody is this same cut, right? And so I think the lessons that I learned was foundations are really important. I have no issue with that, but that we have to have room to form our own beliefs. We have to have room to become what we believe versus just accepting what's told to us, or just accepting what kind of like lands on us, because, well, that's what my parents did. So I would say that that showed up for me a lot with religion. I was very fearful as a child. Some of you know that I had like OCD, anxiety. I didn't know it at the time, but I like very much feared that I was going to go to hell. And I would like pray at night sometimes. And well, I prayed every night because I was like, I had to pray at night or I was for sure going to hell. But there was a time in my life when I really thought I had to like pray perfectly. So if I didn't do it perfectly, I would start again. Mm-hmm. And then I would do it again and I would do it again. Like I was like, guys, I was probably like 9 and I was praying for 11 minutes. Just like trying to get these 3 prayers in a row or 4 or whatever, all perfectly said without a single blunder. Mm. Right. And so I would say like that impact of what religion was to me at that time was very scary. It was very like iron fist, very, and not that my parents put that on me. That was just something that I gleaned from what I believe to be true based on that religion piece. And so,
interesting.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because my kids do actually go to a Catholic school. It's the only French immersion one near us. And bless their hearts. We didn't really ever cover any of the regular stuff. My kids aren't baptized. We actually got a little paper home from my grade 1 Felix's teacher says, like, tell us about your baptism. Like, doo-doo-doo. Because I really want my kids to form whatever their beliefs are versus me kind of pushing that. So, yeah, I'm not sure I answered that question properly, but
that's okay.
The end. You asked the next question.
Interesting. If we could live in another country for a year with no strings attached, where would we go? That's a really good question to ask your partner.
What
do you think? Okay.
So, I don't think, though. I don't know.
See, another country. I feel like I can describe what it's like, but I wouldn't necessarily need it to be, like, a specific country. Mm-hmm. It just, like, needs to be hot. I actually don't care where it is. Mm-hmm. It needs to be hot. I need to wear a bikini all the time. And just go, like, swimming in the ocean with mm-hmm. my, like, cute surfer hair. Mm-hmm. Every day.
I love it.
And I feel like just work from my laptop. And I mean, like, some people would think, like, why work? But work just really, it really fills my soul up. I love it. It just makes me feel alive. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's just what I picture. But I could be literally any country. I don't know. I'm very, like, open to the country. Yeah. It just needs to be fucking hot. And I need to be in a bikini. That's all I picture. And I also want to eat lots of avocados. And not get fat from eating a lot of avocados. So we could just go to a place where, like, you could eat a lot of avocados and they wouldn't be so high in calories. That'd be awesome, too.
The light version avocados.
Maybe they have, like, a hybrid version somewhere.
Are they, like, 400 calories each?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's so good. So good.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a bizarre answer, I suppose. Honestly.
What Cam would say, sorry. We need to ask him.
We do need to ask him.
Yeah, sorry.
But okay, so interesting. We're actually talking about this, considering the state of our country right now and the things that are going on with our government. Freedom is something we value very, very highly. Mm-hmm. And with the way things are right now, kind of not heading in that direction, or maybe we are a little bit, or I don't know, but it's been really messy lately. Mm-hmm. And so this conversation has come up. We don't have a country in mind, but freedom would be the top priority. And so freedom over your body, freedom over the things you do, freedom to raise your kids the way you raise them. And so yeah, I don't know how many countries there are out there right now like that. Nicaragua, maybe?
Yeah. We're moving.
Yeah, we're going. But I think Nicaragua's hot. They probably have avocados.
So, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Ooh, what do you love most about our relationship? What do you wish to work on?
Those are great ones.
Uh-huh.
Those are really great ones. I think one of the things that I value the most in relationships is the daily appreciation for the ways in which the other person goes out of their way to show love.
Okay.
And small or big, I think I really value that. How about for you?
I think at this point in our relationship, I love how much we know. So it's almost like I feel like we dance more than we talk, and not like physically dance. We do dance as well. But I would say it's more, it's so cohesive. Mm-hmm. Like I know there's a comfort there. And I think that's probably one of the greatest things about us. And it's easy. We both have said that even after all these years, and we used to always joke, we used to always say like, oh, I can't wait for boring. Like it felt like marriage, kid, house, build a house, kid. And we just always said like, I can't wait till we just like are boring. Right. And I feel like boring's not the right word necessarily. But just that it feels, I know in my soul, he's my partner, and I know in his soul, I'm his partner. And there's just like this, I don't know, this like fitting togetherness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fluidness without there being conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And the other person just doing things that you happen to ask, right?
Yeah.
That just happens.
Yeah. And it's like, honestly, guys, it's like stupid things that literally are like, he sets the like chicken water pail inside the door and I just go fill it up and I set it back aside and he goes and takes it. It's honestly little dumb things, even like that, where there doesn't even have to be an exchange.
It's almost like a system though. It's like you guys just have your organization of the two of you and the system with the kids, and it's just as fluid. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's so much love entwined.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the piece. It's not just like roommates,
yes.
like, but it's very cohesive, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. The second part of that is, what do you wish to work on? And I think with both of those questions, I think those are both like to be talked about more than just once, right?
Oh, yes, I agree.
Yeah, I heard
weekly, monthly.
Yeah, I think weekly. Mm-hmm. I think weekly. I learned this, I think it was on one of Brené Brown's podcasts, or Tim Ferriss's one, and it was checking in with the relationship every week, whether that's going to be like a Sunday ritual or picking a day. So it's saying like one thing that we're doing well. The second question is one thing you did this week that I appreciated. And the third thing is, where do we want to improve for the upcoming week? So you can set the intention of, okay, this is where we're going to focus the energy for the week. And you could do it in the dynamic of the family or in the dynamic of the relationship. But I think you can bite things in the butt by doing that weekly conversation. Mm-hmm. So there's not that built up resentment of, oh, it's been 3 weeks and I'm feeling this way.
Yes.
Versus the conversation would have already happened. Right?
Yes.
And so I think there's a lot of power in doing that on a weekly basis with your partner.
For sure. I think too, leading with that love piece is really important. So it doesn't come across as like, well, what did we fuck up this week? Or like, I don't like the way you X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
It's leading with, what do you love most about our relationship? Mm-hmm. And then what do you think we can work on? Mm-hmm. Right? So it feels like a team effort and not just like, I'm pointing out the things you're doing wrong and I want you to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think one of the things that you mentioned is, if you're doing it on a weekly basis, it's like a check-in, right? It's preventative to get to that resentment point.
Yeah. And you're approaching it in like a very like neutral way of like, this is where I think we can work on communication. This is where I think we can, not a, oh, well, you don't do this shit. Right.
Yes.
You're like, I think that we could work on this. Mm-hmm. You collectively knowing, okay, that's going to require both parties to show up in a certain way without it being like an attack of, oh, you.
Well, you do
suck.
This. And
you,
you do
yeah,
this.
You,
well,
you
do
this.
This.
Right. It's very much always coming back to we, like, we're doing really well with this. Not just, oh, I'm over here. Have you noticed that I'm making your lunch every day? Right. We're as a team doing this thing. And I think that's just a powerful exercise.
And it opens up the communication piece to be able for that person to say, hey, I noticed you've been making my lunch this week. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That appreciation piece. I really like that, because if somebody is doing something that they feel like they're maybe taking for granted, Mm-hmm. Right? It gives that opportunity for, yeah, to say, hey, I noticed that and thank you. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden that resentment dissipates when you're like, huh, mm-hmm. you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Versus kind of just like harboring resentment.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally, totally. What small joys bring light to your day?
So just, not just, but I would say more recently, this year, I'm really focusing on just observing the kids in like this really, just watching them and seeing the way they talk and the way they move and the silly faces they make. And I feel like I'm just, not for the first time ever, but I'm really paying attention. Mm-hmm. And so that brings me so much joy, actually. Okay. I'm just like being so freaking present with them would be a huge one. And other little ones that I would say I bring in easily and often would be music, incense, candles. Mm-hmm. But those are kind of my normal. But I would say those are just little things in my life that I do make sure that I tune into because they do bring me lots of joy. Mm-hmm. So, what about you?
Totally. I would say so many of mine are the same as yours. I think the kids, as if we just stop trying to like control and we just like step back and we're just like, what silly, ridiculous things are they going to get up to? Like my kids, they were doing like a sumo wrestling thing last night and I was just laughing at like my 2-year-old trying to participate, hiking up his diaper as high as he could because he wanted to be like his big brother who had hiked up his like little boxer shorts and then doing like, hiya, hiya. I'm like, oh my God, this is like killing me. Laughing instead of trying to control and like trying to change any part of it. You just kind of sit back, you smile, like, and yeah, I would say that's been huge. I would say the other small joy that's been huge for me is walking to get the kids. Mm-hmm. And what that has looked like has been really amazing. And I've always known that being outside and away from the house is something that really lights me up and makes me feel joy. But generally in the winter, I have been like, but I've made it my thing. 30 minutes a day outside, even when I don't fucking feel like it. And I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And I notice it influences my mood. And like, even when they're like grumbling, I was telling Ashley this funny story because it's been so windy. We've had to like walk backwards, like not towards the wind. And like, we're just laughing and starting like, as much as it's silly, it's like you're just laughing your way to school or to daycare. And it's like those little joys that you're like, I'm never going to forget this. I'm never going to forget when we didn't have a car and we weren't driving and we just had a walk, you know? And it's just finding the joy in all of that and embracing it. So
awesome. Yay. All right. How can we better practice sustainability as a couple? Turn off the lights.
Well, I was thinking sustainability from like an energy standpoint and like, is that what it's like more environmental?
Yeah. Or sustainability would be more like growing your own garden. Self-sustaining is what I get.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's a good one. And then having the conversation, like two of ours this year are using less water. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we have a few. Using beeswax instead of single-use plastics. Making my kids wash their, like, clothes and wear them multiple times because I want to do less laundry. But I love the idea of, like, practicing that and talking about ways in which you could do it. Or even asking your kids that. I'm sure they get lots of, like, neat and cool ideas even from school.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot of stuff on your kind of home farm situation. You guys got a lot of sustainability. Honestly, if my life goes to shit and I don't have anywhere to go, I'm just going to your house.
You and a lot of people.
They're like, okay. You guys are so self-sustaining. You would be fine.
Are we just setting up a compound at the Grants? I'm like, I guess get to live in the house. We'll set up all these little bunkies everywhere else.
Yes.
But like,
yes.
But yeah. No, we have bees. We have chickens that lay eggs. In the summertime, we get baby chicks and sometimes ducks.
You're the queen of sustainability.
We grow a big garden. Our kids love it, though. Like, honestly, it's just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the property for it, right? So,
yeah.
I would say that I'm not sure we need to practice more sustainability. But yeah. Okay.
Good.
All right.
Oh, this is cute. What's a favorite memory you have of us together?
Ooh.
Mm.
That's a good one.
You know what would be interesting for somebody like you? Would be to pick a favorite memory that you had from, like, different stages of the relationship. So, like, pick your favorite memory from those early dating days. And pick your favorite memory from, like, this, because you'd have, like, different stages.
Yeah.
From when we lived in Wingo. Pick your favorite memory from when we lived in that house in Mildmay.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. What shows up for you?
I'm just kind of going through as you're saying those things. I'm pulling on different memories. Honestly, it sounds so cheese, but our wedding day. It was honestly just like, I felt so present. I felt so happy. And there was no cloudiness. There was no, I mean, physically, but also like within me, everything was so clear. And the song, it wasn't our wedding song. But the song I walked down the aisle to was John Legend's All of Me. And I felt like in that, like, I don't know, just like the all of me loves all of you. And I don't know, that was just, I don't know. But that day really, really stands out for me that it was just like the best day. And just like the start of
the chapter.
Yeah. So I would say that. But I mean, that's a pretty cheesy example.
Well, maybe you and Cam will have to dive, going through some of the eras of the grants. But that's the last in that segment, and we're coming up on the 41-minute mark. So
holy cow!
I think we've given people some good questions, and I think it's just really asking the questions and also like coming back to them because they're going to change, right? Mm-hmm. Like not forgetting to have those conversations and to go deeper or to assume that you already know what the other person would say because they evolve. Like think about what brings you joy this year and what brought you joy 7 years ago.
Oh my God.
They're so fucking different.
Oh
so it's
my
like
God.
Coming back to these things and being like an evolving person who those things may change as your relationship changes.
I think too, I feel like and I'm sure you feel this way too, is like that question also makes you think.
Yes.
Where it's not just like, oh, I'm wondering what this is for you. You're also asking it to yourself, being like, what would I pick? Where would I go? What would I think? Right. And so I think there's a lot of power in knowing yourself in these questions too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. And I think so much of that is when you create your best life or want to improve your life. Is taking that inventory on a regular basis so that you aren't getting to a place where you need to do a complete life overhaul, but you're really like going back and making things better every day, every week, every month, looking at ways in which you can improve in all areas by taking inventory of exactly where you're at. So,
and I think one thing that we talk about is taking control of the conversation.
Yes.
So we end up in these low vibe, crappy conversations and we know they don't feel good, but we just walk away from them and we complain about them later and we go back into them and we don't own the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Ask these questions.
Right.
Too,
start asking. That's what I mean. Ask these questions. So I forget, it was with a client, but we were talking about kind of low vibe conversations and how many people don't know what their partner's favorite color is? You don't know what your mom's favorite color is. And those aren't even like high vibe conversations, but like start asking questions of people for the answers you actually want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, oh, how's it going? Oh, it's good. What do you up to? Oh, not much. And it's just like meh, 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 back and forth. And you do the same thing every interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you want to know what they're grateful for, if you want to know where they would travel to, if you want to know what brings them joy, right? That's actually knowing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The people we spend so much time with, We know almost nothing about them.
Isn't that crazy?
It's mind-blowing. You don't know their favorite color. You don't know what their middle name is. You don't know, right? Like, it's wild to think that there's, and those are just like basic questions, but, and this goes a lot deeper, but it's just like, ask questions you want to know the answers to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
For sure.
Especially when it comes to your significant other, which is what we're talking about here. This is the person that you spend probably a lot of time with.
You're
and
creating a life with, yeah. Really. Yeah.
And so you want to know these things. You want to see where they are and see if you can see if your stuff is in alignment. And if it's not, where do we need to like toggle a few things? Or, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was important to you. We need to make room in our life for that to happen, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And anyways, guys,
that was good. That was nice. I'm glad we did a little one from the heart.
Yeah.
But we should let everybody know that we do have some exciting events coming up in May. Oh my goodness, May is going to be crazy, but I'm so excited for it. So we have...
It is going to be crazy.
It's
going to
be so crazy. So the second weekend, I have our fitness photo shoot. So that's taking place in Listowel with a group of amazing women that will be traveling from all over to get their pictures taken and be looking extra fabulous. And then we have two back-to-back retreat weekends. The first one in Florida, the Bodhi Retreat. You guys will have heard about that because if you listened to last week's episode when we talked with Elise, we are traveling down to St. Petersburg. Is that where we're going?
Yeah.
Florida for the Bodhi Retreat.
Yes.
And we are so, so, so excited for that. And then the following weekend, we will be headed to Ashley's for a one-day retreat. Mm-hmm. And that one's going to be magical as well. It'll be a one-day retreat of getting women outside of their comfort zone, connecting back to their souls, and really just being around a group of incredible women to kind of bring you back to that high vibe state, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may show up and just need that retreat. You just need to be connected again, and we'll connect with nature. We'll connect with water.
Yeah.
We'll be up to some amazing stuff.
Oh, I'm so excited, guys. There's so many things rolling out on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm super pumped for the Florida one, too, because that'll be a different kind of incredible. Like, it's going to be a weekend retreat. And just, like, the vacation aspect with family and all
mm-hmm.
of that. But the one-day retreat, guys, it's really going to be, yeah, linking back to yourself and the way in which you do that best, right? And
absolutely.
So, yeah. And then 2 weeks after that, I'm hosting Reiki Level 2. So if that's something, I do have a group already set, but if it's something that is calling to your soul or it's something you already want to have lined up because you have your Level 1, and just find me.
I'll put all the information in the show notes for that, guys. So other than that, lots of love from the both of us, and we will see you guys
next
week. Ciao for now.
Bye.